lesson comes from the text that was read to us this morning. It happened, the context of the story is Joseph's father is giving his last words to his sons. Joseph is there, and the lesson is recorded for us. And then Jacob dies, and Joseph hovers over him. Now, when a loved one dies, precious memories flood our soul, as we say. Many times when we're talking to one another, we'll say, oh, do you remember when he, or remember when she, you know, said this or did that? Precious memories. And Jacob must have left Joseph a lot of fond memories. Now, even in my preaching, not that someone died, but I think back a few years, or even if I don't know when it was now, I'm old. But I just remember there was someone in the congregation that brought tomatoes. And they said, these will be, you can have these after the morning assembly. When you leave, take a bag of tomatoes. And so sure enough, they were walking out the door, and several brethren had some tomatoes in their hand. And one lady walking out, she said, Brian, it's a precious memory. She says, Brian, aren't you glad they didn't hand out these tomatoes before you preached? I don't remember what I said to her, but precious memories. But that's what Jacob must have left Joseph in those final words. Maybe they were talking together, and Joseph may have said, oh, Dad, remember that coat of many colors? Yeah. Or he may have said, Dad, remember the time when my brothers deceived you into believing that I was killed by wild animals? Oh, yeah, I remember that. He may have said, remember when Benjamin was held hostage in Egypt in order for you to, or held hostage in the promised land in order to get you to come down here? He may have said, Jacob or Dad, remember how you were taught by your father Isaac? How grandfather Isaac was taught by his father Abraham? Remember that? Yeah. But now Joseph's father is gone. And memories are abundant in his life, no doubt. I don't know this poem. It says, I may never be as clever as my neighbor. I may never be as wealthy as some other men I meet. I may never have the glory that some other men have had. But I've got to be successful as a little fellow's dad. There are certain dreams I cherish that I'd like to see come true. There are things I would accomplish before my working time is through. But the task my heart is set on is to guide a little lad and to make myself successful as that little fellow's dad. I may never get earth's glory. I may never gather gold. Men may count me as a failure when my business life is told. But if he who follows after is a Christian, I'll be glad. For I'll know I've been successful as a little fellow's dad. Christine always reminds me when I read poems like this that about fathers, and it seemed like all the poems are about a father and a son. And she reminds me that fathers have daughters too. Yes. So in our lesson this morning, I'm going to give you four precious memories that Joseph received from his father, Jacob. Number one was that Jacob gave Joseph the ability to forgive brethren, his brothers. You see, while Joseph lived at home, his brothers, the Bible says in Genesis 37, verse 4, they hated him. They couldn't speak peaceably to him. The brothers. Joseph was envied. He was mistreated. He was cast into a pit. He was sold by his brothers. And he was lied to the father about him. He sold and he ended up in Egypt, and there he's falsely accused. He's cast into prison. He's forgotten, but he's soon remembered and he's elevated to a high position in Potiphar's household. You may be thinking, you know, you wait till I get a chance to get even with my brothers. You said, oh, they're not going to get away with that. I'm in a position of power now. But no. His father dies. Jacob does, and that was in our text. Others are now in need of forgiveness from Joseph. All because of their ill treatment of him. It ends Joseph and his brothers meet in Egypt. And in Genesis 50, verse 19, it says, Joseph said to them, Joseph, what are you going to do? Well, now's your chance. First thing he says, don't be afraid. For am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good. To bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. In other words, my brethren. He says, now therefore, and he says it again, don't be afraid. I'll provide for you and for your little ones. And then it says he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Jacob, what did you leave Joseph? I left him the ability to forgive his brothers. Wow. That's what we want to leave in every generation. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, here's our New Testament word. Paul said, be kind to one another. Oh, that's what Joseph did. Be kind to one another, your brothers, family members, yeah. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you, even as. Number two, Jacob, what did you leave Joseph? Well, I left him an example of faith. In Genesis 49, verse 29, Jacob, in his last words to Joseph, says, when you leave Egypt, I want you to take my body to Canaan's land for burial. Never, don't leave me here. His faith was that God was going to bring his people out of Egypt and back to the promised land. Joseph, remember that? That was the promise of God. And Joseph does that in Genesis chapter 50, verse 12. It's interesting that in Genesis chapter 50, verse 24, Joseph now is dying. And he requests his brethren, don't you leave my body here in Egypt, but take it to the promised land in the Exodus. So Joseph does die in Egypt. He's at the age of 110. And it's interesting, in the Exodus, being led by Moses now, there's a specific reference to this request by Joseph. It says in Exodus 13, verse 19, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. Oh, example of faith. Yeah, we'll go back. God promised us a land, and we'll leave Egypt. We'll make an exodus, and we'll go back. I watched him playing round my door, my neighbor's little boy of four. I wondered why a child should choose to wear his dad's old worn-out shoes. I saw him try with all his might to make the laces snug and tight. I smiled to see him walk, and then he'd only step right out again. I heard him cry, his voice so glad, I want to be just like my dad. I hoped his dad, his steps would choose sage for his son to wear his shoes. And then a shout and a cry of joy. Hello, Dad, and a hiya, boy. They walked along in measured stride, each face aglow with love and pride. Come today, my lad. I tried to wear your old shoes, Dad. They're big. When I'm a man, I'll wear your shoes. I know I can. They stopped and stood there hand in hand. He saw his son's tracks in the sand. His words of prayer came to be, Lord, let my steps lead him to thee. Jacob, would you lead Joseph? I left him, number one, the ability to forgive his brothers for what they've done. Second, I left him an example of faith. Yeah. So Jacob says, don't leave my bones in Egypt. Joseph says, don't leave his brother, don't leave my bones in Egypt. And they don't. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, he said, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. All right. Timothy, where'd you get your genuine faith? Who'd you get it from? What did mom and grandmother leave you? It's in the next phrase. Oh, that faith that's genuine in you, it dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded is in you also. So dads, what are you going to leave your children? The example of Jacob and Joseph, leave them the ability to forgive others. And second, leave them an example of faith. Generational faith. The power of example is mighty. You ever hear the phrase, like father, like son? Or the phrase, we say, a picture is worth a thousand words. Or we've heard the phrase, I'd rather see a sermon any day than hear one. Yeah. Don't amen that. I don't want to see a sermon. I don't want to hear it. I remember, Dennis and Susan are not here today, but one of my favorite stories is when Dennis Burchett retired. And at the retirement party, he was a school teacher. He retired almost 25 years ago. But at his retirement, his daughter, Katie, spoke. And he said, my dad taught me. Oh, Katie, what did your dad leave you? He taught me honesty and faith. Oh. The principal at the school also taught or said something at Dennis's retirement. She said, Dennis always had a joke to tell. Said they were always clean. They weren't funny, just clean. So what are we going to leave our children? I want to, number one, leave them an example of to forgive. And then leaving them an example of faith. An example of faith. Jesus left us an example of faith. In 1 Peter 2, verse 21, Peter says, for this, to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Jesus, what are you leaving us besides the salvation? I'm leaving you an example that you should follow or walk in my steps. I want Jesus' shoes. I want to walk in his shoes, his steps. Number three, what dads or parents can leave their children is knowledge of God. Knowledge of God. It's in Genesis chapter 50, verse 23. Joseph saw Ephraim. Ephraim is Joseph's son. Saw Ephraim's children, the grandchildren, to the third generation. The children of Machir, the son of Manasseh. Manasseh is the other son of Joseph. Ephraim and Manasseh. And they were brought up on Joseph's knees. Ah. So there's a dire need that exists throughout the land where we're fighting to amass fortunes and pleasure to kind of stop as parents, dads. Sit down and take up sons on your knees. Now, I can't do that to my boys anymore. They probably don't want me to. They're in their 40s and 200 pounds. Well, 180. Okay. But I can take my granddaughters and my niece. I remember when I was growing up, my brother Rod and I, in our living room, Dad had one of those famous, you know, Dad's chairs, a big stuffed chair, and big stuffed arms on both sides. Rod would sit on one arm, and I would sit on the other arm on the chair, and Dad would read us Bible stories. Yeah. Precious memory. I remember that. Brian, where'd you get your faith? Oh, from Dad. Where'd my dad get his faith? Oh, from his dad, James Anderson. Grandparents. Christine, where'd you get your faith? Mom and Dad. Where'd your dad, Daryl, get his faith? Oh, from his mom and dad. That's right. Knowledge of God's Word. Tell me that Bible story again. Moses taught Israel different ways to teach the children. When Moses, before they entered the promised land, he gathered all the people around. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, Moses said, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." Now, not just head knowledge. I want it to be in your heart. "Teach them diligently to your children." Oh. Moses is saying to the parents, I want you to leave your children an example of faith and knowledge of God's word. I want you to teach them diligently to your children. Then when you sit in your house, by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, bind them as a sign on your hand, be as frontlets between your eyes, write them on your doorposts of your house and your gates. Moses wanted to be sure that the children were taught God's word. These words, I command you, I want them in your heart. Some people, even I hear today, generations say, well, I'm not going to influence my child in religion. Well, you're already influencing them in religion by not talking to them about religion. And by not talking to them about religion, you're telling your children that religion is not important. Or I'll change the word to Christianity or God's word. You don't tell your children about the word of God or read to them the Bible stories. You're telling them that that's not important. And if you don't influence your children in God's word or in Christianity, other people will. Their friends will influence them in God's word, for or against it. The music they listen to will have an influence on them. Their teachers at school, their coaches, the programs they watch on television, the movies they see will all have an influence on your children. And you're going to say, I don't want to influence my children in the Bible. Lead your children knowledge of God. Let that be the heritage. The last one is simply precious memories. Precious memories. We usually, again, think of precious memories at funerals. But what precious memory will you leave as Dad and Mom? What precious memories will be told at my funeral by my boys? In Genesis 25, verse 5, it says, Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. All that you had, Abraham, what'd you leave Isaac? Oh, faith. I left my boy faith, knowledge of God's word. Dad, what are you leaving your children? Not just something that they can hold in their hands. As valuable as that might be for success in today's world, but I want you to leave them the ability to forgive their brethren. Give them the example of faith. Be sure you leave them knowledge of God's word. And then leave them precious memories. Precious memories. Leave them something that'll take them to heaven. To get his goodnight kiss, he stood beside my chair one night and raised an eager face to me, a face with love alight. And as I gathered in my arms the son God gave to me, I thanked the lad for being good and hoped he'd always be. His little arms crept round my neck, and then I heard him say, four simple words I can't forget, four words that made me pray. They turned a mirror on my soul, on secrets no one knew, not me. I heard them yet. He said, I'll be like you. So Dad, what are you leaving your children, sons and daughters? Leave them the ability to forgive. Leave an example of faith. Leave them knowledge of God's word. And have precious memories. That's the lesson. All of us need to begin our influence on our children by becoming a Christian. That's the start. That's the lesson. I want you to be a Christian. Stand on God's side. Let people know to whom you belong, especially your children. Your children. Precious. You didn't just bring a child into the world when you had children. You brought a soul. A soul. Lead them to heaven. Lead them to heaven. We usually use a phrase, you know, remember we talked about last words in our lesson, the last words of Jesus. Matthew 28, closing verses. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. So he tells his disciples, well, I want you to go into all the world. Preach the gospel or make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark records it in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Preach the gospel or go into all the world again. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus told his disciples, my last words, I want you to deliver a salvation message. A salvation message. And that's what we extend at the close of each lesson. So we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. So that's what we're going to do now. So let's stand together. It was number two. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, you have to be baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that. You simply need to let your desire be known as we sing the song or at the close of the song. 902.